This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 345. I am Lisa Sheps, along with my incomparable, incredible, and beautiful co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Please just stay right where you are, okay?
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
There once was a pirate.
It is Wednesday. I don't even know what the date is. It's January 20th, 2016. On the show today, we have the City Theater and their show, The Boys Next Door. Later on the show, we're going to be talking to the Viceroy Theater Company and their show, Top Dog Underdog. And of course, we'll have a load of conversation about theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, London, Paris, and Zurich. Don't go away. Okay, what do you think of this song?
I like it. I like creepy stuff.
Do you know what it is? Because I purposely was vague on the script.
It's about a pirate.
Yeah, do you know what? It's from a show.
I feel like I do, but I don't.
Okay, so we'll start our trivia right now. It's
Go
from
ahead.
A show.
All right.
That is a very famous Broadway show.
Okay.
Currently on the boards.
Okay.
This song was not.
Is it Finding Neverland?
It's not in the show. It was in their off-Broadway or their workshop.
Oh, what is it?
It's Closing the Sunday Night.
Is it Finding Neverland?
No, it's
No,
Spring
Finding
Awakening.
Neverland is a closing. That's right. Oh,
Spring
really?
Awakening. Yes, that's a Duncan Sheik.
It's very Duncan Sheik. Yeah, it was, yeah. But I was all like, I'm okay. Confused.
How are you? Nicole Shiro, we missed you last week.
Oh, man, I was sick.
You were sick as a dog.
Yes,
you were
I was.
Sick as a sick dog.
I was
not a healthy dog.
But my brother kept it entertaining.
That's Casey.
Thank goodness for him. He was constantly checking my temperature. And, you know, thermometers these days are those magic wands you shake over your head.
I call them thermometers.
He was hilarious because whatever my temperature was, he would do the call letters for a radio station, no matter whether they were in Chicago or New York. He'd be like, so-and-so the buzz. Da-da-da-da-da-da. He would say whatever the station. And I'm like, I love that my temperature is a station. So he made me laugh. He was very good. He took very good care of me.
I probably have to hit him. But you were missed.
Thank you. I missed you. I was really bummed out not to be here. And
but
I didn't want to get you all sickles.
At the last minute, Mr. Adam Roberts came in, stood by, and he did a great job.
Because he's Adam Roberts.
Yeah, love me my Adam Roberts. Does everybody here know Adam Roberts?
Yes.
Maybe
okay.
He'll come
Thank
in
you,
and,
disembodied voices.
You know what? Maybe he would come co-host with me one time when
I
you're
think
not
he might
here.
Co-host with you.
I haven't ever asked him that.
Although
would
you would have to like get Ann Ciccolillo's permission to do that.
Well, you know, maybe I'll just have both of them.
So I would like to thank Tracy for another wonderful remix. That
Tracy
was great. It was
Schultz.
Nice to learn all about the Spider House Ballroom and what goes on there. And So it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
for
they're
me,
having this chocolate Chinese tea tasting over there.
Chinese tea tasting.
It's chocolate. It's a pairing, a chocolate and Chinese tea. I saw something on. I was like, that looks fun at the Spider House.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lovely. I do want to remind folks.
I like chocolate and Chinese teas.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
It's a tasting.
It's a good time. We like the Spider House.
Tasting tidbit at the Spider House.
Dun, dun, dun.
So for more information, you may visit Spider House. .org, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Google Spider House, for gosh sakes. If you're not listening to the podcast, the question is why?
Yeah, really?
So
I mean,
we do
it's
podcast.
2016, people.
It is available on iTunes. You can get it sent to you via iTunes. You can also get it streaming on Stitcher.
Yes.
And then we can also just send it to you.
You can just get it. Like Lisa and Nicole and the show, we just arrive in your mailbox
So,
each
but Nicole,
week.
Why should they listen to the podcast if they're listening to the show right now on the air?
Because we do some really great things on the podcast that aren't available to our listeners who listen
That's
live.
That's right.
We have special sections such as the answer to the trivia question.
They will learn the answer to the trivia question.
But even better than that, we learn a little bit more about our guests.
That's true.
What
That's
makes
true.
Them who they are what and why them... they tick, not just about the show, but why they are who they are.
Yeah. What makes them tick, 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 us and these lovely disembodied
voices.
You
know what else? We forgot to tell people, not only on the iTunes, but maybe they could review us.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to go on, if you're going to like to, would you please review us? Give us a star or two.
I mean, we rock.
Say we're good.
You could say that.
Anyway.
We'll take it.
Yeah, do that. So, let's see. Oh, remember, folks, next week we are not here at all. We're taking the week off. We are just not here. Tracy's going to have a 2-hour remix and
he's going to rock it.
He told me he's going to try to get a theater guest.
Oh!
So it would make a lot of sense.
Tracy Schultz
kind
of
is
going to
rock the party. So we are not here. So we will not be here. So next time you will see us is in February.
You should have Ann Ciccolella. She likes music.
Ann Ciccolella is everywhere. You cannot get rid of her.
She is.
She's like a gnat.
Chicka chicka boom boom.
Please, Ann, I meant that only in the most fondest of terms. So let's introduce our guest here, R. Michael Kink Scales. Welcome back. Kink Scales.
Kink Scales.
Ooh, I like that.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm changing it. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Lacey Gonzalez, welcome.
Hello.
Get closer to that microphone when you talk, or else. And Beth Watkin, welcome.
Hello.
Both of you are new to this show, although not new to me, except Beth is new to me. Jarrett King.
Hello.
And Matthew Frazier.
Howdy, howdy.
Is it Matthew or Matt?
It's Matt. Everyone just decided it was Matt one day.
It's Matt.
Went with it.
All right. So you're that guy laying in front of my door.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it. So the weather for today is hot. Relatively speaking.
You think?
Relatively. It's February,
frozen.
For gosh sakes. Frozen?
Look, okay. I'm not frozen like my family in New York and New Jersey, but
all
I'm frozen.
Well, okay. So So the weather is relative, is it not?
It is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you, since you weren't here, and I know how much it meant to you, and we did talk about it last week, and you did not get a chance to speak about it. I do want to just talk about David Bowie really quickly and give you some chance to talk about it because I know how much he meant to you.
He meant a lot to me. He meant a lot to a lot of people. So I cannot hold that he only meant a lot to me. But he really shaped who I was. He made me realize it was okay to be different. It was okay to do different stuff. He was probably one of the biggest idols in my life, and I was lucky enough to have a chance to meet him.
And I would think that if he knew you better than just
when he met
you,
me, he was
that
like, Nicole!
He would indeed idolize you. How did you tell us about your meeting?
No, he didn't meet me and say that. He was very gracious. When I worked in New York, I did the entertainment PR, and we handled he had a fan website. I worked in the digital music department, and he had a fan website that he decided to give back to his fans and had a contest, and he held a private concert at the Roseland Ballroom for, I think it was about 2,000 people. It was very small, very intimate, and since we handled the PR, I got to go, and I got to invite a few of my friends, and my friend Bianca, who grew up in East Berlin, he was a big, big, big part of her household and her family and dealing with growing up in a communist Germany. So I brought her with me.
Lovely.
I brought my friend Winston. I brought people where he meant something to them. And
Winston sounds like a cigarette.
Winston Hazel. He's a twin. Winston and Rob Hazel. And then we went to the private concert, which was just awesome. And I excused myself and my friends, and I said, excuse me, but I need to go meet this man now.
So you did.
And I did.
Excellent.
And the last time I saw him, actually, though, play was in Austin, back at the old backyard before they moved it,
before they built
the shopping complex. And it was in the woods and creepy and David Bowie. And,
well, and as we talked about.
I was devastated. I was crying. And I always laughed at people going, how do you cry over someone you don't know? Well, I understand
it
now.
You figured it out. You figured it out. Well, he will be missed. Will be missed. I mean, people are...
Man, I am not...
It's not a good time to be in your
60s. 2016 is no bueno.
Alan Rickman passed away.
Yes!
Love me some Alan Rickman.
Hello, Hans Gruber, man.
Hans Gruber?
Die Hard.
Oh, never saw it.
Oh, Lisa, that's a problem.
It's the best Christmas movie ever.
Yeah. It is the best.
It's amazing.
Not
into
the
not in. Oh, I actually did see Die Hard.
He's so evilly awesome.
I lost it when he plays a lot of evil people. But he did have a Broadway career.
He did
three shows on Broadway. Most recently, he did Seminar was in 2011. That was the most recent.
Hold on.
Yeah, wasn't was the Seminar was the yeah
Seminar
I think
was,
it was
2011. It seems like it was like just two seasons ago.
I was just about to say it only seems like 2 years ago.
But he was also in Private Lies and Les Dangereuses Liaisons.
Les Dangereuses Liaisons.
So quite a talented man, and he will be missed.
Totally missed. You know, it's just shocking that we're in 2016 and everybody's going down from cancer. It seems like it's even more prevalent than it was before, and that just seems wrong.
Well, the good news is Joe Biden is going to cure it.
I was just going to go there, but you know, I hadn't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, that's good. And speaking of murderous, Gentleman's Guide to Murder,
Love and Murder.
Just died. I just died. Just closed.
Died. Well, I guess it did die too.
They had a record breaking last week, final week, really really big week. Awesome. And speaking of record breaking. Guess what show this week, and I mean, I'm sure for several weeks now, is the top grossing show?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yeah, right. But even in, but what has been the top grossing shows for the past zillions of years?
Lion King and Wicked.
Lion King and Wicked. And now, and even the new ones that would come in would like maybe surpass them for a while, but
for like
get
a
back
few days,
below.
Yeah.
And Hamilton's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who other than me has seen it?
You went and saw it?
You seen it? Matthew saw it? I haven't seen it.
I saw it when it was in public.
You saw it at the public.
Where did you see it?
I saw it. Oh, man. I'm actually not positive. It was funny, though, because a friend of mine actually offered me the ticket before I knew anything about it. It's like, it's this show. It's going to be good. It's presidential. And I was like, ooh, maybe not.
No.
But then I went to the public, and it blew all of my mind.
Yeah, of course.
And it is. It's one of the greatest musicals I've seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
They're trying to bring it to the stage, or to the screen,
to
film.
To bring
it
to the stage.
Yeah, and I was laughing because they're already going to be starting their touring production.
Yeah, so Chicago. I think.
Yeah, out in Chicago. Yep.
Well, yeah, so that's pretty incredible. And this weekend, Broadway Con.
Dun, 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 dun.
Are y'all up on this Broadway Con thing?
No.
Okay, so Broadway Con, well, we know Comic Con and all that. So this is the very first convention for Broadway. And it's actually pretty incredible.
Oh my gosh, everybody just looked at each other like children at Christmas and was like, oh, this would have been a great moment to have our video going.
There's some pretty incredible stuff. And Hamilton plays pretty strongly in it. They have, they are the opening... the opening session is shredded in secrecy. They said lots of people, but there's autograph sessions.
He said, "Don't tell people about our appearance."
I know. That's why
it's
secret.
It's under wraps.
But there's some very interesting things, and there's a lot of workshops on stage management, on music composition, on playwriting, on marketing a show, stage to screen. There are master classes.
Is there one on swings? Because we love our swings.
There isn't one on swings.
By the way, last week there was National Swing Day. Didn't even know it existed, but that was kind of exciting.
Well, but what kind of swing? Is it swing or swinging?
No, swing like as in Broadway
I'm
swing.
I'm just saying.
But who knew? I got excited. But I was
and
sick.
there's a thing on Fiddler on the Roof, which, by the way, I talked to some people who saw the current production and said that Danny Burstein is just phenomenal.
I had a feeling.
But remember how we talked about? Were you here when we talked about it with the coat? So and
in the opening and the closing.
In the opening and the closing, but the closing. So the opening, he starts by reading. He's reading a journal or a newspaper ad or something, and it segues to
his modern day parka.
It segues to old time Anatevka, and at the end. As they're leaving for Anatevka, he gets the parka back on, but he doesn't say anything. It's like silence. There's no real book into it. That seems sort of interesting.
But you know what? When you sent to me, because after we talked about it, we weren't sure if it was in the end. And then after we were on air, it was. And you sent me the article, and there was a picture. It's kind of cool.
It is very cool.
I still don't know how I feel about it. I'd have to see it to really give you my opinion. Mm-hmm. But visually... So far,
yeah. So there's there's a panel on what I'd really like to direct with Stanford Arima, Kathleen Marshall, Lonnie Price, Lee Silverman.
Should
be sort of interesting.
Those little people,
little people. lots of things. Improv workshop.
Oh yes, yeah. That's kind of cool.
So, Broadway lighting design, costume design. Theater adjacent, working in the theater, all working outside the theater. I think we all know that one. So it looks very fascinating. So you can get information about that on BroadwayCon.com. I will unfortunately not. I will be getting there after it closes up on Saturday. On Sunday, I mean. So,
are you getting breaking news?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with this show. I'm just going to keep
it. We are heavy hitters today.
I'm going to keep it to myself. There's a thing on Families with all the Kenan Bolgers.
There's a lot of Kenan Bolgers.
There are three Kenan Bolgers.
Yes, there are.
And the only one I can remember the name without looking it up is Andrew. And there's, I think there's
Celia.
Celia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
there's one
she was
more.
She was the one who, in the... Black Stash.
Peter and the Starcatcher.
Thank you.
Thank you. Black Stash.
I'm like, Black
Excellent.
Stash.
So there are photos. So it looks really, really fun. There you go. We'll see how it works. There is something on theater criticism. And unfortunately, our boys are not part of that group.
Really? It's, your boyfriends are not in it?
They're not in it. And I really want to, I would like to get them there
you
and
know
say,
why?
Where do you come
they
up
had
with?
No extra words up their sleeve
they're
to share.
They're too busy looking at the thesaurus to come up with words that we don't know.
Yep.
They to just, put in the
reviews. They had to spend time on that for the reviews.
Yep. So you actually sent me a link, but I'd already had it in there. And we started to talk about it earlier before the show started about Bette Midler.
Don't know
going into
Helly
Dolly. Helly Dolly. Yeah. I just changed the name to Helly Dolly.
Helly Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. So here, just quick trivia question. The
you
what's
are
the name of the restaurant
of
in Hello, Dolly? Well, that's not the trivia question.
Good, because we failed that.
But that is modeled after a real restaurant in New York. Does anybody know what that is? Was. Doesn't exist anymore. It's been closed
IHOP,
for a long time.
The Olive Garden.
It is the Olive Garden. Thank you.
The one in Times Square.
It was Luchow's on 14th Street. Which, when I moved to New York, I lived right across the street from
I was
from
like, I lived on 13th, yeah. Right by where that
yes.
was.
It, yes. So, yeah, it was on the south side of 14th. So it actually, and it was huge. Was it there when you were there?
No, I think it just closed.
Yeah, but it took up that entire block.
Well, I should
block.
Take that back. When it's I was huge. A peanut, it was there when we lived on 10th and Greenwich.
There you
but
go.
But when I was older, no.
So I don't know any particulars about this production of Hello, Dolly. Is there a theater set for it or anything?
I didn't, hold on, you have my glasses on.
Because you're old.
Let me.
You don't see me having to wear glasses.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I do wear glasses.
They do have that because they have dates already.
All right, well shoot them. You know, don't keep them to yourself.
Well, they didn't share them with me either.
All right. Well, then I'm going to go back and do what I was going to do, which is really nothing specific. But a Playbill had this really great thing about 12 things you should know about Hello, Dolly.
Tell me.
And these would all be good. Trivia questions. But Dolly, which opened it in 1964, was the Hamilton of its time. It was the biggest ticket. The biggest ticket.
Awesome.
And Carol Channing, who was in it. And has anybody seen... I saw Carol Channing in it, like, in her later years. And a friend of mine was playing Horace. yeah, but she was... I had a little... And I've met Carol Channing. She's a good friend with our ex-co-host Stuart Moulton, so I've had the opportunity to meet her. But when she was doing the show, she's basically doing the star turn, and they had a little runway outside over the orchestra that she would just come out and just sort of prance around.
Do Carol?
I remember this.
I have a sort of a problem with those kinds of star turns on a show, but that's it.
She fell off one night, though.
Did she?
She may have.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was in the news. She fell off, got right back up, and started again.
She is the ever-ready bunny, that woman.
Yeah, she really is.
So she was not the first choice to play the title role.
And who was it?
Guess. Think Gypsy.
Was it Ethel Merman?
It was Ethel Merman. And they also looked at Mary Martin and Nancy Walker.
Nancy Walker
makes a little sense. Mary Martin, maybe not so much.
I don't get the Mary Martin. I do get the Ethel Merman.
Yep.
Okay.
So let's see. It opened at the same season as Funny Girl.
Not crazy.
Oh.
Pitting Channing against Barbara Streisand. And then, of course,
who
Barbara Streisand played
in
both roles. Yes.
Yeah.
She won 11 Tony Awards for it. That would be Channing did. And let's see, Louis Armstrong's recording of the Hello Dolly was number one on the Billboard charts, ending Beatles the domination.
I knew that.
He beat out the Beatles.
He's Louis Armstrong.
He beat out the Beatles.
That's still pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was another one I got to see.
So this is something I totally forgot. Does anybody remember the remake of Hello Dolly? It was in this original run, but it was a total turnaround. An African-American cast with Pearl Bailey and Cab Calloway.
I was about to say it was Pearl Bailey did it once.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
What theater was that at?
Don't know.
Queen Latifah was rumored for a long time to be coming back and doing this.
Yeah, she
was,
she'd be great
so
for it.
So she would be awesome. She's the queen. So I was...
And she's Latifah.
Exactly. So I was kind of like, when I saw the Bette Midler come up, I was like, interesting, because she's been the one in the rumor mill for a long time.
All right, so who directed the movie? Who directed the movie?
This dude.
I just saw this and I can't
I did not. This was a surprise to me. I would have thought I knew it.
Was it Minnelli?
Nope.
Oh, that was going to
be my Vincent Minnelli. I think Singing in the Rain.
Goodness.
Was it really?
Gene Kelly.
Wow.
Oh.
Whoa.
Really?
Gene Kelly. And of course, we know it had our Texas boy, Tommy Toon, was in it.
Yes.
Walter Matthau and Michael Crawford. Michael, the Phantom of the Opera Crawford. Yeah.
That's right.
He was such a nerd back then.
The movie, the movie opposite, different from the play, was... It sort of turned the tide on the great American movie musicals because it was a big old flop. Wow. Big old flop. A B-O-F, as we call them in the business. So that's interesting. So, boy, we did a lot on Dolly, didn't we?
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel. I love Bette. I love
Bette.
Why
wouldn't you? She seems perfect for it. I don't see the controversy. Let's take an informal poll. R. Michael, how do you feel about it?
I'm so excited about it.
You're excited about it. Okay, Lacey, how are you feeling about it?
I feel so good about that.
So good. That's two.
Yes.
Beth?
Happy.
Happy. Jarrett?
Sure.
Matt?
Yeah. I'm just like, good for
me
you.
Me too.
Ben.
So how do you feel about being all by yourself over here?
Totally okay. Y'all can have my seats. I'll go see another show.
Okay. Excellent. So while...
I'm totally okay with that.
While we're going to see Hello, Dolly, you can be watching School of Rock.
Yes, I will stick it to the man.
There you go. Oh, okay.
That's
so last
School of Rock. Although I'm not afraid
all
to
excited
say it
there
anyway.
For a minute. I don't know what's going on.
Please, this is a family show.
The children sing that song too, just so you know.
So this
I did just for you. So we have to talk about it.
Okay.
Eddie George.
My Eddie George. I love my Heisman winner. He's in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes,
there you go.
It's exciting.
That's all I have to say about it. I don't know who this person is.
Eddie George, NFL player, Heisman winner. He's been doing the Shakespeare for a long time. It has been getting rave reviews in.
He's been doing the Shakespeare.
Played Richard.
Othello. Yeah,
Othello. Right. Yes, he's been doing the Shakespeare. Yeah. I believe in Atlanta.
Didn't really read the article.
He made a joke with his wife. I listened to a great interview with him on sports radio. He had an argument with his wife and said, "I want to be in Chicago and play Billy Flynn." And she said, "You can't sing." So he went and took lessons, and he went and called the producers, and they're like, "Yeah, well, you're gonna have to audition." He's like, "Gladly." And he showed up and went through the whole process, and he is pumped to be doing this.
He's in it. So I actually have to go one other thing. So, and there's there'll be a link to that article in the New York Times on our website. But I forgot about this, Broadway Con. So back to Broadway Con. There's a glossary for people that go to con. So conventions. Anybody go to Comic Con or any of the conventions? Oh, good. Let's see if y'all know any of these. I'll start easy. Badge ribbons. Does anybody know what they are?
What goes around your badge for your neck?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. These are the ribbons that sit under the badge that say vendor, presenter, things like that.
Right.
Okay. Cosplay.
Oh, yeah. I know what cosplay is. Cosplay. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know what that was. What is it? Somebody tell me.
I don't know what the definition is.
Dress up, yeah.
That's when you dress up like a character.
Fanfic.
Fanfiction.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I've never heard it called fanfic before. Headcanon.
What?
No, I have no idea.
That sounds dangerous.
Headcanon. It does sound dangerous. Elements and interpretations of fictional universe accepted by an individual fan but not found within or supported by official canon.
Oh, see, I was thinking like Evel Knievel, so I was way off on that one.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
We'll do one more. Which
is LARPing in there?
LARPing?
LARPing.
LARPing?
LARPing. LARPing. Live action role playing.
Never heard of that. No.
You guys don't know? Oh, there's a big LARPing community. You ever see the people in the park dressed like superheroes in Reno?
Okay.
That's LARPing.
And the last one is OTP.
Yes.
Oh, what?
One true pairing.
My gosh, you're amazing. So tell people what it means.
I heard OTP, like, I see it online all the time, and I'm just like, what in the world
does
that mean?
I had to Google it, because I was like, what is this? Why are people saying this? And it basically refers to a couple that you think are, like, meant to be together. So.
Right, so the example here was, Nina and Benny for Evs. So Benny from Rent and Nina from...
Oh,
Piazza?
No, Venus and Fur, right? No, Nina Arredondo is her real name. Never mind. Sorry.
So anyway, okay, so that's it. So we need to get, we're running late, of course, as we know. Do you have a short trivia question for us?
Oh, I do have a short trivia question. So I didn't know if you wanted news.
Well, no, we need to go. So we're, okay, here we go. She'll get there eventually. She's an old grandma.
They're hard to put on with these headphones.
All right, just leave them on. That's what I do.
Oh, no, I can't see all the time then. The Sound of Music, 1959. You love that musical.
Yeah,
and it's coming to Austin shortly. Would be Rodgers and Hammerstein's last show. Mr. Hammerstein died of stomach cancer the following year. It's the story of the Von Trapp family singer starring Mary Martin, and it was a smash. And while the 65 movie with Julie Andrews was even a greater success, what was the last lyric Hammerstein wrote? A... Don't say your answer now. Save it.
Oh, yeah. Don't say anything now.
A, do, re, mi. B, climb every mountain. C, the sound of music. D, Edelweiss. Or E, the lonely goat herd.
The lonely goat herd. Okay. Well, with that, we are going
to
take a little break.
I don't
break.
Know the answer to that. I thought that was a good one.
Good. It's an excellent one. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come right back. So let's see. Oh, so I'm playing music. So we did Spring Awakening because I'm going to see Spring Awakening on Sunday.
Right.
And our next piece is from the other show that I'm going to go see on Thursday night, which is Fun Home, and this is Flying Away.
Nice.
I'm Meredith McCall, and you're...
No, it's not.
Well, Meredith's going to pop in and say hi.
I want to play Airplane. You and I want to play Airplane.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and Lisa here on Co-op Radio. We've been talking to Lacey Gonzalez, R. Michael Klinkscales, or Kink Scales, Beth Watkin, Jarrett King, and Matt Frazier. So we're going to just jump right in and talk about what's going on. Oh, wait, before we do that, we're going to take a little sidebar, and we're going to give Beth a job because I have not met her before. Beth, I need you to choose a number between 2 and 47, please.
Oh, my goodness. 12.
12. Can we allow 12?
I think 12 is one that was okay.
We're going to allow 12. Here we go. Let's see what it is.
Let me put my gun down. This is D.D. Snavely.
This is Patrick Page.
This is Jason Williams, and you're listening.
You're listening to Offstage and On
I'm
the Air.
You know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air.
On KOOP, Hornsby,
the
Austin.
91.7 FM, and it beats that. Out of Andy Williams.
That's completely, that's a ridiculous accent. That's not how I really
sound.
You could
do it again.
That was a good one.
I forgot you had edited all that in.
We had done some mashups, and that was actually a really good mashup that we did.
There was just video of Patrick doing the recording for Hunchback of Notre Dame that they put up, and he's so sinisterly awesome with that deep, deep voice.
Many people think I have the same deep voice as he does.
I wish I did.
Okay, so City Theater's got a performance of The Boys Next Door. And we are fortunate enough to have one of the co-directors, Lacey Gonzalez. We're missing Carl Gonzalez, which coincidentally has the same last name as you.
Yeah, it was just a strange thing. We just both have
it's a strange thing.
Name.
I'm going to ask you to lift that microphone a little higher. And then two of the performers are Michael Klinkscales.
Yay.
And Beth Watkin.
Hi.
So tell us about, who wants to tell us about this show?
I can. It's about four men. In 1985, living in a group home for people with intellectual disabilities, and kind of about their lives and the people that affect and are affected by them.
Right. And this is a very well, it's billed as a comedy, but it's actually very poignant as well.
Yes. It has a lot of heartwarming moments as well as a lot of levity to break up. So it's not too heart-wrenching, but there definitely are some very powerful scenes and performances.
And I find it's a very important piece of work. Simply
I would
because,
agree with you.
Okay, well, then I don't even need to say why.
There
because.
You go.
Well, because, you know, people with... one of the things that's very interesting about the disabled folks, mentally disabled folks, is it's not necessarily... apparent to someone. They have a coming out process, just like LGBTQ people have. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So tell us about your characters. R. Michael, what are you playing?
So I play Norman Belansky, who has an intellectual disability, works at a donut shop, He likes the donuts like I do.
Okay. Armichael is rubbing his tummy.
He's rubbing the Buddha for good luck.
For good luck. And he has a love interest in the show.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's really fun to portray on stage is this, you know, what does that look like when it's two people with intellectual disabilities? But one of my favorite responses is at the end of a scene, there's a bunch of different scenes like this, where the audience is laughing, and then they go, oh, because they realize, oh, that's really funny, but oh. That's so poignant too.
Yeah.
And Beth and I get a lot of that.
And Beth is playing the love interest. What's that role?
Sheila.
Sheila.
Yes. She lives in a group home close by.
Right. And she comes to visit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a date.
So this is really, I would think, very difficult for both the actors and the directors because it is, you've got to be very, very careful not to fall into caricature.
Yes. That was one of our main concerns going into this process was making sure that these characters were treated with dignity and that they were treated as real people because they represent real people that are just like you and me, but they face a very different set of challenges.
Right.
So that was something that we definitely took a lot of time to think about going into this.
Well, and I hope that the audience walks away with, and I think they do, is knowing how much we as actors love the characters that we're portraying and each other's characters. And if you approach it that way, then it would be really hard to be making fun of them or
right.
anything like that because we love them. It's just that life is funny. Life is funny for all of us, and it is for these characters right. too.
And so if I remember correctly, it's the house is, there's four men living in the house.
Yes.
One of them is a highly functioning someone on the spectrum, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's Arnold.
That's Arnold.
Arnold, okay. I haven't seen the show in so long.
And then there's
long,
also
I'm
a caregiver, correct?
Yes, that's
a social
Jack.
Worker.
Jeff. Okay, thank you for being on the show. but the wonderful... I think the way it's written, I think it's really wonderful how they have the four men, and three of the four are there's lots of clues that we know that they have a mental disability, but the one character that is a high functioning someone on the spectrum, you don't really know. So it's a very interesting thing, and you love all the guys in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know whether we were y'all. I forgot to ask if you wanted to do a little scene. Are we all thinking that you were going to do a little scene? Do we have one in our?
They're all looking at each other, giggling.
Okay, there's no pressure.
We hadn't prepared anything.
Okay, then let's not do it. Unless you want to, it's up to you. I normally don't like to put people on the spot like that, but I usually do it via email
today
ahead of time. But I didn't
the lucky
this time.
Day. I would say no because I don't want to take it out of context.
Yeah, it's hard to get there.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, it's a beautifully written play. I think we do a wonderful job, but I don't want to take it out of context.
I totally agree. And y'all are next door at the City Theater.
Yes.
Is this a City Theater production?
It is a City Theater production.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
tell us who else is in the show.
We have Heath Thompson plays Arnold. Tony Salinas plays Barry. MacArthur Moore plays Lucian. I'm trying to think.
Lucian, I think, was my favorite.
Lucian's such
He's
a
so
great
nice.
Yes,
yeah.
He is just the sunshine of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our Michael is too.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, don't let it go to your head, Michael.
Already has.
We have Chance McKee playing Jack. And then our two ensemble members are Tawana Johnson and Austin Vaught.
Cool.
And then we have Don Owen, who's playing Mr. Klimper.
Wow. We got
that's
like
a good
everybody.
Size cast.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always
they?
Think
Why
it's smaller than it is, but no, there's nine. That's a good size.
No, it's nice. And it's a single set show.
Yes.
Is this suitable for youngsters to come and see?
I would say so, with the one exception. There is one scene that does get very intense. There are a few times where harsh language is used, mm-hmm. and then there's one scene that deals, I don't want to spoil it too much, but there
don't
is something to do with physical abuse.
Right. Now there,
PG-13.
PG-13.
But my daughters, who are 10 and 11, might come.
It's Your daughters are rather sophisticated,
they
though.
Are.
Yeah, but some parents will choose to take their children when they know it's PG-13,
yes.
so it's a personal.
And we have
I
had a younger audience member already. So
this is the kind of show that is rife for a talkback. Are y'all doing talkbacks?
Lacey, that's a great idea.
Oh my God. I'll pitch it to Andy.
Who came up with that idea? Okay. So if you do do a talk back and you hadn't thought of it, I would like it to be the Lisa Shep's memorial talk back.
Yes, but it can't be scheduled at the same time as our appearance at BroadwayCon.
That's true. Broadway. BroadwayCon.com. So y'all have already opened, yes?
Yes, we opened last Friday.
And how's it going?
It's going great. We have received overwhelmingly positive response from our audiences. A lot of tears, a lot of people coming out. I had one lady just grab my hand so tightly and just tell me how much it changed her life. I'm sorry. And how she would carry the message of the show with her always. And
that's
after,
awesome.
It was really amazing. And after she said that to me, we could get a bad review. I wouldn't care because it affected someone. Cool. Positively.
That's a lovely story. Yeah. And you have co-directed this with Carl.
I did.
How is that? I am ambivalent, and I use ambivalent in a positive sense, not the actual real sense of what it means. So I really have no opinion, but I don't know how I feel about co-direction. How did that go for you guys?
It worked really well this time. Because it's like,
that was a hilarious.
There sounds like there's a story. We'll get that at backstage.
Just so everyone knows, we are married. So we have worked together in the past where he has been a director and I've been a producer. And we were coming from two different areas wanting two different things. And it didn't go so well.
Right.
But both being directors, coming into this, we both knew what we wanted for the show and we agreed on all of the important things. So there were a couple times where we had like a miscommunication, but there was never an argument. It was very nice, and I can't wait to do it again.
Excellent. And speaking of that, very quickly, you and Carl have your own production company.
We do. Yes, we have O Dragon Theater Company, and we've been around for almost 4 years.
And where would one go to find information about O Dragon?
You could go to www.odragontheater.org.
Okay. And so your show is already opened. When does it close?
It closes February 7th.
Right, and it's right here next door to us at on 38th and a half and Airport at the City Theater. Where can folks go to get more information?
You can go to www.citytheateraustin.org.
Good. You know, you're leaving out a W. I don't know if that bothers you or not.
Was I?
Yeah, you said www dot both times. So I think people are going to have a hard time finding it.
Noted. It is three W's.
Well, I'm so happy to have y'all on the show. We're hard-hitting journalism here.
I have missed my Shepisms, by the way. Yeah.
The people deserve the truth.
So, thank y'all for being on the show.
Thank you.
And best of luck with the rest of the production. I hope you will stick with us and stay with us at backstage.
I think so. Yeah, we'll be there.
Good. Wonderful. So this is Lacey Gonzalez, our Michael Klink Scales. Why am I having trouble with that? I don't know.
Because you got kink scales.
You got something kinky on your mind.
I do. And Beth Watkin, they are part of the production of City Theater, The Boys Next Door. It runs through February 7th. For more information, citytheateraustin.org with three W's in front of it. And I had fun choosing this piece of music, and I did it mostly because I liked it, and secondly because I know Nicole.
It's like one of my top 10 shows, yes.
At first glance, you may think we're up in the...
Okay, Nicole, tell folks what that's from.
That was from Sideshow.
From Sideshow.
Emily Skinner and Alice Ripley are going into 54 Below with Feinstein's to do a new show. First time they've been together since the original Sideshow.
Well, that's not exactly true because I believe they're together at BroadwayCon.
First time they performed together in a
show. I believe they're performing in a show at BroadwayCon.
Feinstein's opens ahead of time, and they're billing it that way. It's the first time they performed since Sideshow.
I'm teasing. They're not really performing at BroadwayCon.
So I'm like, I was just being defensive. That's what Emily and Alice said.
Okay. So we've got to, of course, we're running late. We've got to be fast with the local thing. I do want to remind folks that Fonterra Fest is going on right now over at the Hyde Park and Ground Floor Theater. So you can get information there at hydeparktheater.org. Did you have anything locally you want to talk about? I did bring one thing in.
Well,
I think it's sort of interesting.
Well, you know, because it's playing and because I love the show, Annie Jr. is going on.
Annie Jr. is going on. I'm trying to figure out what makes it Jr.
I just, you know, that was my whole thought too. What did they do? Take out the depression? I mean,
I don't know.
That's a problem. Kids should know about that.
I don't know. I see Ann Ciccolella walking through the studio door right now.
Oh,
that could be interesting. So
it's a guest appearance.
Well, let me just very quickly say there's a show at Salvage Vanguard. It is a, oh my God,
a theatrical production.
It's a devised show. Written by Adrian Dawes, which I think it's interesting. It's a devised show written by somebody, but I suppose they devise it and then it's
done,
scribed and fixed by somebody. And that was Adrian Dawes. Music by Eric Seacrest and Hannah Chow. Lyrics by Cindy Williams. Done at the Salvage Vanguard. It's big. Oh, and there goes
Aunt Chickalella. She pointed in the window. She pointed to something she had for us and left it on the table. And
anyway, this is called Denim Doves. It appears that it looks like there's only one. No, I could be wrong about that. Oh, January 21st through February 6th at the Salvage Vanguard. For more information, salvagevanguardtheater.org. And now we'll just jump right into Today in Theater History, shall we?
Dun, dun, dun. Which is Chickalella's favorite part. Well, she didn't even stick around and come in.
Yeah, you're going to have to slap her wrist. Way back in 1896, you
that
remember
was
this,
a
Jared?
Tough
of
year.
Yeah.
Hot too.
So we're gonna say it's the birthday of Nathan Birnbaum.
Mr. Birnbaum. Why do I know Mr. Birnbaum?
Well, he was married to someone famous and did a lot of TV shows. He smoked a cigar.
Oh, was he the
He was married to Gracie Allen. And his name turned out to be George Burns.
He's God.
I had no idea. I had no idea that he changed his name, Nathan Birnbaum. So
I miss George Burns, That guy was a character.
He was born in 1896. And then another birthday was Patricia Neal. Who was born in 1926.
No.
She's from Packard, Kentucky.
Packard, Kentucky. Yeah.
I don't know if y'all.
I don't even know where that is.
She did a commercial. I think most people are in the 80s. She did a commercial for a denture cream.
Oh my gosh!
Very sad.
Yes.
Yeah. In this 1975, a Terrence McNally show, The Ritz, opened.
My favorite Terrence McNally show, by the way.
It's about a
who doesn't
a bathhouse.
Want to be Googie Gomez.
And who played Googie Gomez?
Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno. And she did what? She won
the Tony.
A Tony. For what? What was the award that she won?
Was it Best Supporting Actress?
It was Best Supporting Actress. How many people after Rita Moreno won? I'm all about trivia today.
You are. You're on fire.
How many people after Rita Moreno won Best Supporting Actress? How many? Oh, and this was in, so if you won a year, it was 1975.
So 40?
Nope.
No, because they took the category out?
Zero. They took the category away.
There you go.
It's now Best Featured Actor and Actress. Yeah. And the reason being is she said, her speech said about supporting, is that she supported nothing but her beads. And it led the Tonys to change the category name, which I think is fascinating.
That is hilarious. The movie is, it's hard to find, but F. Murray Abraham's in it. It is phenomenal.
Love F. Murray
Abraham. Who doesn't love a bathhouse?
Yep.
With a crazy Googie Gemma running around performing.
Right. So, well, I do know so many people from the 80s, not to bring it down, that the bathhouses is where like the AIDS epidemic was like centered. And I knew so many people back then that spent a lot of time in the bathhouses in New York, and most of those people that I knew are no longer with us. So to me, bathhouses have a very sad connotation.
Sad.
Not to bring us down.
Theirs looks fun, though.
And to continue to bring us down, in 2002 on this date, Carrie Hamilton passed away. I did not know this person.
You don't know Carrie Hamilton?
It's Carol Burnett's daughter. It's Carol Burnett's daughter.
TV show Fame, man. Debbie Allen said, we've got to make dreams.
I'm just so impressed with this woman. She knows everything. Did anybody else not know Carrie Hamilton?
I did not.
Yeah, so you'll find that Nicole knows just about everything.
And Carol's
here this weekend
at the Long Center.
I believe she is.
Yes.
Along with, and I should say this, that... Laverne Cox is also at the Paramount on Friday night. And that should really be worthwhile to check out. So please, you may visit
austintheater.org
to get more information about the Laverne Cox show. She's an incredible person.
So you could do Laverne,
activist.
Carol, and then get your Deepak Chopra on because we learned Deepak earlier.
Another death that happened right now on today. This is not a good day for Broadway. Al Hirschfeld died in 2003 on this day.
And we still have to get, we should have asked Dan Chigala. We need to get Nina on, his daughter that he always wrote in the cartoons.
We do need that. We talked
about
that.
She lives here.
So then the other thing that, speaking of death, Harvey Fierstein takes over the role of Tevye on Fiddler.
Oh, yeah.
At his date. And that was just, that was the death of that particular tour.
You know, you could argue the Rosie O'Donnell was the death, too. No. So I don't know where you're
I didn't see
go.
Rosie O'Donnell, but...
I didn't see her play Golda. I didn't know.
I didn't see it. I've heard mixed things about her, but I've not heard one good thing about... about him.
She amused me.
And I did not. And I was so looking forward to seeing it. I thought he could have brought a lot to the role.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you remember he replaced the original person that was supposed to come here. Yeah, do you remember who that was?
Was it Alfred Molina?
No, it was Topol.
Oh.
The second original and the one in the movie.
The one in the movie that we all know. It has a great name. Who doesn't want the name Topol?
Topol. who as I was reading up on him just recently, he was evidently not a very nice man.
Yeah,
but we've got to move on because we are late. So this is also this composer died, Dick Gallagher, at 49.
And that's young.
And he wrote a show called When Pigs Fly.
Pigs fly.
All righty, folks. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and Lisa.
And some cool people today.
And some very cool people today. This has been a fun show. I don't want it to ever end.
Me neither.
Unfortunately, it's
going to
have to.
Ride this carousel round and round.
Sooner rather than later. So let's just jump right into the Viceroy's, Austin's newest theater company, I believe.
Yeah.
And we have the originators of that company right here with us. And also the stars of the show. Are you all self-directing as well?
We are. We are sort of a directing hydra.
You're going back to Shakespeare's method.
It's Matt and I, and it's also Jason Phelps. So Matt and I are sort of handling the design team, then Jason is kind of handling us.
Musketeers.
So the show, of course, we're talking about is Top Dog, Underdog, Pulitzer Prize winning play by Suzanne Laurie Parks.
Love this show.
Jarrett King and Matthew Fraser. Jarrett plays Lincoln. And Matt plays Booth, which I love those character names.
And it's been funny. We get most of our questions are about the names, honestly. And I always laugh because people are like, oh, my God, like, spoiler alert. And I'm like, their names are Lincoln and Booth. What do you really kind of expect?
And your picture has you in a stovepipe hat,
That's
too,
very true.
So there you
that
go.
That is very true. Yeah.
So tell us what the show is.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's. You want to take this?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Don't fight, you guys.
I was like, oh, save the fight. Speaking of fighting, it is a show, honestly, that centers around sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. And it is two brothers who lived in a very cramped apartment space. Lincoln plays Lincoln. He is a Lincoln impersonator. Mm-hmm. So he puts his white face on every day.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's
on I did not know this about that. Yeah. I've not seen it. I didn't see it when it did.
Okay.
The production that was here, like, four, five, six years ago, won like every Biden Payne Award known to man at the time. Yeah.
And it's
no pressure.
It's just so, it's very interesting. It touches on a lot of different themes, but it's also very sort of straightforward at the same time. So it just has a very great sort of poetic language to it that keeps you really engaged and it's electrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
So one would guess, so as I read it, it's all based around a three-card Monte game. Mm. And for those people that didn't spend a lot of time in New York, what's three-card Monte?
It's the coconut game.
It actually is.
I have a three-card Monte story.
I was about to say, are you about to pull out three-card Monte
No,
and play?
But I did. My father did teach me how to do it, I'm not very good, but I do know how to do it. But so three-card Monte in the 70s and 80s when I lived in New York, that was very prolific around Times Square. And it was mostly African-American men that were doing it. And there is a system. It takes like three people to do the system. So you've got the guy that's doing the card game. You've got a shill that's winning money. And then you have somebody looking out. And it's really interesting when you're watching this stuff happen that all of a sudden they just pick up and walk away.
Yeah.
And that's because the lookout has spotted somebody. Mm. And so my friend was and I were there with some tourists that were visiting, and my friend Mark Baltazar, shout out to Mark Baltazar, was pointing everybody out to our guests. Like, this guy here is the shill. See that guy over there? He's probably the lookout. And somebody came over and put his hand on his backside where people normally kept their knives and said, "Brother, shut up and leave now." It's very scary.
Well, it's really funny. Yeah. We saw in the documentary for the show that Susan Laurie Parks, the playwright, her husband at the time actually taught her how to play in Louisiana. They were walking and ended up passing one, and her husband sort of broke it down in the same way of like, oh, that's where that person is. That's what that's supposed to be. And it really is sort of interesting how she made a simple sort of card game into this very sort of long prolific.
Well, because I think it's probably, and not having seen the piece, it's the whole thing about Three Card Monte, even if you know how it's played, it doesn't necessarily mean you know what's, right.
what's
happen,
going to happen.
Because
yes.
it depends on how the guy does
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So you would still lose yeah. even if you know how it's played.
And the exactly. show centers around Booth, my character, mm-hmm. really sort of pestering Lincoln, right. who is the master mm-hmm. of the game of, like, teach me. It's so right. simple. It's so easy.
Right.
And we were laughing over the Christmas holidays. I looked up on YouTube, you know, just trying to figure out the trick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it really, it's a simple trick. It's not yeah. that, like, hard.
It's very simple. Yeah.
Very
it is
simple.
Indeed the coconut
yeah.
game.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. indeed the coconut yeah. game. Of you yeah. just have to do a slight little slip of the hand, and
right.
that's it.
Yeah,
and
it's so funny how iconic it is, because mm. when you really stop to think about so many movies or books or pieces where it's referenced or something happens, and you're like, oh, it's kind of
yeah.
like,
yeah.
oh, yeah. and I think I love that the piece does, this actual piece centers around it, and it's
right.
in a different way,
yeah.
but it's I find it
But this also deals with, I presume, the subject of race.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, in a very big way. You know, of course, as Matt mentioned before, like, you know, Lincoln is an Abraham Lincoln impersonator
right.
and wears whiteface and has this very sort of strange attitude about this like role that he plays. It's sort of, he has this pride, but there's also this distance, and it, the play does a really great job of handling these issues, which are just enormous, in a way that's really sort of simplified into this very intimate story of two brothers in this very small room. But it seems like it's about everything, and then it's also just about just these two guys at the same time. It's
Susan
amazing.
Laurie Parks,
yeah.
man. She's
yeah.
a great writer.
She's a genius.
Yeah, yeah. I think if she sticks at it, she may get
she
somewhere.
She may do
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we may
she's
get
new,
her.
New one.
Yeah.
She's doing something in New York right now. She's working on something new right this minute.
She just had something open last season,
yeah.
didn't she?
Yeah, it was Father Comes Home from the Wars, which mm-hmm. was also nominated right. for a Pulitzer yeah. This past year. And Susan Laurie Parks won the Pulitzer in 2002 for Top Dog.
For Top Dog.
She was the first African-American playwright to win the Pulitzer Prize.
She likes
shame that it shame that it waited till 2002 for that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
She yeah. also won the Gish Award, which is just recognition for your contribution to the arts, and hers was $300,000, which was the largest.
Oh right,
ever
yeah,
given.
Yeah, yep.
That's
I remember
pretty impressive.
That.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Not too bad, Miss Fox.
Okay, so this is the premiere performance of the Viceroys, mm-hmm. which is your production company.
Yeah.
Which I have to take one little issue with your website
Ooh,
here,
oh
and
my.
You know, because we're hard hitting journalistic, as people are really aware. you say that part of your mission is to bring theater to the once thriving east side of Austin. I would challenge you to say that the east side of Austin is thriving theatrically.
Absolutely. I think
so get rid of that once in your website.
I think something really great about Viceroys is that our goal through most things is to start a conversation.
Right.
And ultimately, I remember when we were applying for grants and just sort of finalizing our mission, understanding that while East Austin still is a great place, still thriving and still really a hub, at the same time we're losing salvage.
We are.
And we're losing spaces that are feasible for artists to do their work.
Yeah.
And so ultimately I think what we sort of meant by that is that the East Side more so now is Shangri-La and the bars
yeah.
and all
yeah.
that, rather than like, oh my God, I can go see some incredible theater, some incredible art
right.
on the East Side. So our mission and our goal is really to bring that back and bring work that starts a conversation and gets people excited.
Right.
That's
exactly.
important.
Yeah.
You know, we're running out of time, so we're gonna break an offstage and on the air rule here, and we're gonna continue Ooh. This conversation backstage.
Okay,
great.
Before, because I like this conversation.
Yeah, before we go on, and we might hear a little piece of the show
sure.
backstage, which is good because we don't necessarily have to edit it for language. So that's good. So tell us where you guys are playing.
Sure. Yeah, we are at Salvage Vanguard Theater. In their smaller studio space, we're running one weekend, January 28th through the 31st. And that's going to, so that's next Thursday.
One week
okay. away. So we'll be there. And you can check our website for the show times and for more information.
And what is that website?
The website is tdudaustin.com.
All right, which stands for Top Dog Underdog.
It sure
just
does.
Use the initials.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for being on the show. We'll continue this backstage. So
excellent.
We've already taught you how to get there. We're just going to close out now, not do our normal close-out-y thing, but I do want to remind folks that To hear more of this conversation, you should subscribe to the podcast. You can get that on iTunes and Stitcher. And how else can they get it?
Best way, Lisa Nicole, deliver it in your mailbox.
Right. Just in your mailbox.
Offstageonair.com, enter your email in that little box, and voila!
There it is.
So
if you're listening on the airwaves, you're going to stand by for Austin Monitor News there next, and followed by Mark Rayshop and Another Bottle Down. Mark is just entering the building right now. He's got a satchel filled with wine. He's got
ready to get his toasty drink on.
Backpack and his camelback filled with booze that he's drinking with all his guests. This was guaranteed.
He's going to toast away.
To be a wonderful show. We will not be here next week.
No,
so remember, it's going to be a special 2-hour remix. And
Tracy
Schultz promises me he's going to have a theatrical guest on. So that's good. So why don't you pop in for that? And then we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, we
when
will.
We look at what's happening. Back off, I don't know
the
name of our show.
Offstage and on the air. And we'll get to hear about your New York trip.
Yeah,
we'll I'm hear excited about yeah. it.
So this is sort of for Top Dog Underdog. Not really, but sort of.
Look at me, powerless and holding my breath.
Okay, the curtain has just come down on Chasm, the musical. The story of a hapless young mite worm living at the bottom of a deep, deep chasm in the western part of a country yet to be named, but probably the United States of America, in his search for love in the nooks and crannies of the desert Southwest. That's it. Okay. So, we are sitting backstage. I will say that I asked for a improv suggestion before we started that, and it was Grand Canyon, and so that's how I came up with
Chasm. Oh, I was about to say, I missed that.
You weren't here for the suggestion part, but everybody else was in on it, and you were the shill. So
you don't care about me.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go a little bit different from, we're going to depart from our normal. We're going to continue our conversation with Top Dog Underdog for just a very short time. So, because with this, our show gets really long and people get bored. Where'd we leave off? Give us a starting point. Give us a suggestion of a starting point for Top Dog Underdog.
We have just been talking about Susan Lurie and learning
yes.
the three-card Monty scam, which is
right.
how the show itself is really sort of
set. How does it wrap around three-card Monty?
So Lincoln, the older brother, has sort of mastered this game. He used to play it, and then a friend of his was shot. And through this booth, his younger brother is now trying to like slide into that new spot. Oh, well, you can teach me. I can join your crew. I can be a part of it. It's fine.
Talking to the microphone, please.
And that always creates sort of conflict between them. So
yeah, because my character does not want to go back to that and is
no, because you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you wear a stovetop hat.
Yeah.
I definitely. You walk around in white face.
Right, exactly. So I must be, clearly very,
oh my God.
Very nice guy. Yeah, no, but so that's like the perfect conflict of like, I want to do this thing that you don't want to do, and I want you to teach me, but, you know, but we're so codependent in very interesting ways. The play really kind of does a great job.
We talk about it, and as I look at the description of it, I am implying that race plays a factor here because of the character names, because you are playing whiteface, but nowhere do we. So where does race play into the storyline?
Something I find really interesting about it. Someone the other day asked me if we ever at any point say the N-word in the show. And it's sort of funny to us because we say some of the worst things that I've ever said in my life to each other. But the N-word is not one.
Yeah.
And on that, Susan Lurie Parks, the playwright, literally is like, it's just about two brothers, not about black people.
Right.
It's not about that. It's just about two brothers.
Yeah.
So in sort of simplifying it, but at the same time saying so much.
Right.
It's so fascinating.
Okay,
right?
So race is there.
It's there.
It's there for you to do with what you will.
I love
you
that.
Know, which is really powerful. And,
I mean, she
and
has
amazing.
Some pieces that it's the focus.
Sure, yes. Of course.
Well,
big
but,
time. And then she does other pieces where it isn't. And that's what that's part of why I really like
it. I do think it's important, especially for us white folks, to understand, so we have to come at race and the issues around race and systematic oppression. Mm-hmm. We have to come at it from inside of us or else it's not going to, the change will not happen. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So for me, it's like that's out there and I've got, in order for me to deal with it, I am forced to think about it. because you don't present it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
Golf clap.
Golf clap. Golf clap.
I'll give you that.
Quiet, please.
So give us, can we just get like a 30-second taste of the dialogue?
Sure.
And then we're gonna run and do our backstage mishigas.
Let's do
so here? They're busily working. So I will do play-by-play announcement.
So it's just like football.
It's just like football. And I'm the color commentary. All right, here we go. Ready? All right, we're about to hear Jarrett King and Matt Frazier doing a scene from the Vice Wars production of Top Dog Underdog.
I buy it. You set it up. That's the deal. That's the deal, right?
You like this place.
It's all right.
But it's a little cramped sometimes.
You don't hear me complain. Although that recliner sometimes, booth, man. no booth, right. Man, I'm too old to be sleeping in that chair.
This is my place. You don't got a place. Cookie, she threw you out, and you can't seem to get another woman, so you're lucky I let you stay.
Every Friday, you say, mi casa es su casa.
Every Friday, you come home with the paycheck. Today's Thursday, and I tell you, brother, it's a long way from Friday to Friday. All kind of bad things can happen. All kind of bad feelings can erupt while your little brother waits for you to bring in your share. I got my Thursday head on, so go and get the food, Link.
You don't got no running water here, man. You don't got no toilet. You ain't got no sink.
Bathroom's down the hall.
You living in the third world, fool. Hey, I'll get the food.
Great. God, I love it already.
It's my brother and I golf every day.
Tell golf folks again a website that they can go to, and you can commend them here. You can say you have to go.
We demand that you immediately Google TDUD Austin to change your life in the best way possible.
Yep. So you could do it that way. You could go Top Dog Underdog. It'll get there. So good. Thank you for sharing that. I'm looking forward to seeing the show. All right. Let's answer the trivia question.
Okay. So we were talking about The Sound of Music. We know Mr. Hammerstein. Is it Hammerstein or Hammerstein? Steinstein.
Hammerstein.
Tomato, tomato.
No, it's not tomato, tomato.
I'm asking.
I'm just saying it's Hammerstein.
It's Steen? Okay, I was just making sure.
Yeah.
Died of the stomach cancer. And we would like to know, you know, since The Sound of Music was his last show, what was the last lyric that he wrote? A, Do, Re, Mi. B, Climb Every Mountain. C, The Sound of Music. D, Edelweiss, or E, The Lonely Goat Herd.
This is a good one. So normally I go around and ask everybody, but I've got to start with commentary first.
You start with it.
Here's what I want to think. I want to think it's The Lonely Goat Herd because to me that's sort of a thrown-in thing.
Yeah.
But I think the other of me says it's either Do, Re, Mi or The Sound of Music because iconic songs. So with that going on, Beth, what do you think it is? Into the microphone.
Yep, there we go. I was going to say B, just because, I don't know.
Which is
climb
B?
Climb Every Mountain.
Yeah, climb Every Mountain.
All right,
okay.
We got to climb every mountain.
Yeah. I'd like to think it would be Climb Every Mountain.
Climb Every Mountain.
The Lonely Goat Herd.
Lonely
the
Goat
lonely
Herd.
Goat Herd.
I would love for it to be Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi.
I'm going to say Edelweiss.
Ooh, I was thinking that, too. You know what? I'm going to go... Darn it, I'm going to go Sound of Music.
You're going to go Sound of Music?
Yeah, right. It just seems like that's the kind of thing it's going
to
be.
I don't know the answer to this one.
Do you have a guess?
My guess was between Edelweiss and Lonely Goat Herd. I'm...
All right, what is it? Read it.
I love Edelweiss. Edelweiss is so pretty. It is number nine.
Number nine.
Oh, D! Edelweiss was the last lyric that he wrote. I did not know the answer to that. I thought that was kind of a fun one.
And Edelweiss is being used right now as a theme song for The Making of a Murderer, the documentary. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the one that the Edelweiss
is it really?
Is
yeah. It's like a slow down version, right?
It's
like
it's a creepy version.
Interesting. Well,
it's a creepy version.
You can get your Edelweiss on. I guess we'll probably interview right. the sound
What's
of music,
a, What is Edelweiss?
It's a flower.
It's a flower.
Yeah, yep. The flower of Austria. Yep. It's and beautiful, actually. It's almost orchidy looking.
To like really bring us backstage and start talking about the thing, my speech teacher in high school was named Edelweiss.
Was she?
Yep.
It's like our blue bonnet, but it's Austria's blue
Beth
bonnet.
Beth Watkin, tell me about you. Where'd you come from? What's the story?
What's your dealio, lady?
What's your dealio? We're curious about the dealio.
Tell us about you.
I'm originally from Scarborough, England. But I
Get out of town.
Yes, I grew up in the States. My dad's from...
So is that where Scarborough Fair is?
Yes.
Okay, that's what
Have you been?
Yes.
Yeah.
Scarborough Fair. No, I haven't.
I know, one of the good songs.
So, by the way, that is originally a Mother Goose nursery rhyme. Go on.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's where it came from.
It's in my Mother Goose nursery rhyme book. Mm-hmm. I love that book.
No, I grew up here, though. I mean, Denver and Texas.
Denver and Texas, they're kind of the same.
Denver and Texas, half and half.
Are we growing up here?
Were we split amongst parents? Is that why you did that?
Oh, okay. No, grandparents got sick, so I had to come down and help.
Okay. And when did you find yourself in the theater? How did you try? High school.
Yes.
And where was high school? Here or
yes, McNeil High School.
McNeil.
Yes.
Lovely.
Michael Harlan was my theater teacher.
Lovely. Did you do music?
Michael Harlan, yeah. Mr. Harlan?
He moved to Westlake, right?
Yes, he moved to Westlake. Yes.
Yeah, he moved to Westlake.
He's
a
wonderful teacher, and I was I'm a very introverted person, so I came.
You came. You blossomed like an edelweiss.
Yes.
Did you do musicals?
Mr. Harlan did not do musicals.
No,
okay, that face was hilarious. Mr. Harlan did not do the visual with it.
But I wasn't.
Please,
in choir.
Girl.
I got to do 8 O'Annie, which was great.
Okay. That's a musical, by the way.
Yes, but it wasn't the whole thing. But that was.
Oh, you just did
choir.
The song. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Show choir.
Yeah.
And what was your favorite role in high school, or your biggest role, or however
favorite.
Whatever you want to do, favorite, biggest, worst,
memorable.
Oh, right.
Poignant.
We did a lot of UIL competitions, mm-hmm. and I was in a duet scene. Can't even remember the title, but my duet partner had to slap me.
Ooh.
And we got very into it. She was supposed to be my mother.
Oh.
She slapped me. My ears started ringing.
Oh.
So that was a good memory.
I know. Those speech competitions. Who all did UIL and speech competitions? Everybody?
Yeah, right here.
Yep. Yeah, I did duets. Mine was Sleuth. I did a scene from Sleuth.
Oh, okay.
But we were always competing against people that were doing like really, they would do interpretive pieces that would like, they'd have either hints of racism or things like this. So it was always the African-American duet, because the first judges are always these white women. And playing on the white guilt, we never won doing our damn Sleuth thing.
The first time I ever read Top Dog Underdog was my speech and debate teacher back in high school. It was like slid it over
I hate how, like, you, how young
I
you
bet
are.
You would, I bet you would really like this. And so I did it as like a 10-minute like DI, dramatic interpretation for speech and debate. And like that was the first time I read a play that wasn't like Shakespeare or
Same
something.
Same with me with Boys Next Door. Mr. Harlan gave it to me.
Wow.
I read it in high school and fell in love with this.
Mr. Harlan.
The script, yes.
We can't get away from Mr. Harlan.
I already did this. Mr. Harlan. Let's shout out to him. Does he still teach theater?
No, he's he's retired. He got real sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
shout
we're
out
shout
to
out
him
to
for
him.
Shaping me. I mean, you two obviously are two of many people, so shout out to him.
Was he your teacher as well?
No. I just knew him because we would compete with Westlake, and
you
know, my drama teacher was really good friends with him and stuff, and so I just knew him. And I judged for Westlake a couple times back
back in the
judge.
Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, they do. Teachers do make differences. I love that.
Don't say it to me like I don't agree.
No,
with
I have a lot of teachers in my family.
She's looking at me like, well, you
no,
don't
I
think
know
teachers
you
do
agree
very good.
You and I are all about the arts education. I'm telling those listeners.
Matt, you live in New York City.
I do. I live in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, which is, many people don't realize that is part of New York
still
City.
Part,
it's
still
up,
part.
Made up of five boroughs.
20 minutes.
Yep. Which train are you on?
I'm on the L train.
You're
which
on
is
the
about
L train.
To shut down.
What?
For
what?
A year.
Oh.
Why? Isn't that crazy?
So when I lived in New York, it
so
wasn't the L train.
So how do you get back and forth? They want you to take the bus now?
Well, I'm lucky
I have
the J train.
You have the J train. So when I lived in New York, I lived right on the L train when I lived on 14th Street, right across from Luchow.
I was about to say, we both lived on the L at 14th.
What was your stop?
14th Street. Oh, 14th. No, 3rd Avenue. 13th
Avenue.
3rd Avenue.
Wilson, which is in just boonies.
So, well, but it wasn't the L train when we lived there.
Really?
It was the double L.
It was the double L when I was a kid.
L.
That's
so
right.
So I would either take the L train, which is literally right outside my door. I would walk out my door and go. So I would do that when it rained. But I was a block from Union Square.
Oh,
so
amazing.
I would just go to Union Square and pick up anything.
Can I tell you, I say it all the time, I lived on 14th between 6th and 7th. That was the greatest place. I could go here and get the BCE.
Spot.
I could get the PATH. I could get the L, the 1239.
It was great for that stuff. But on 14th Street was the worst block in the universe. 13th was nice. And 15th
hey
was
man,
nice, but 14th was awful.
The Home of Nels is there.
What's a Home of Nels?
Really? You don't know Nels?
No.
Magenta from Rocky Horror?
And haven't we spoken that I do not? I saw Rocky Horror Picture
Show
once.
The movie?
I saw it once in 1977.
Oh my goodness. Well, we've had tune in when Laverne Cox is in it and Tim Curry coming back.
Not a fan.
But Nell is the original, not Magenta, Columbia. And she opened up this crazy bar, and it's kind of was like the Studio 54 for like the Misfits and the punk rocks. And it was, I think it recently closed. We still went there a bit in the 90s and stuff, but yeah, Nell's.
Okay. So
history there.
So Matt, do you ever go to Nell's?
I have not. No, okay. I don't think it was around because I only moved.
I think she's making it up.
You Google Nell's right now.
No.
So, but you have a connection here in Austin.
I do. I'm from Houston originally.
Houston, Texas, or the other one?
Houston, Texas.
Okay, great.
Houston, Texas. And I went to. Oh, I saw that when I first got here.
Champions division.
Not this year. Wasn't that great though?
This is this year's division.
Okay, our 10-minute thing is already at 14 minutes, so let's go.
So I went to St. Edward's for college.
I've heard of that place.
Study theater there, and I moved to New York a week after I graduated.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's great. I think that's great. And so you and Jarrett made this company.
Yeah.
So is there going to be a New York connection to the Viceroy's, or is it really an Austin thing?
Well, we were laughing about that ultimately in that we're at this sort of interesting spot that we really don't know what's next.
Oh, cool.
In that we have lots of different sort of options. We're both like bouncing around. I have a job that allows me to sort of like travel.
Cool.
I was about to say, can you bounce back and forth easy?
Yeah, which is nice that I can sort of go where I want to. And
what's the job?
I was like, well, I can't say the real thing. It's social media for a certain company. And
Facebook, go on.
Yeah, it's Facebook, and it's really sort of a great ultimate like actor job in that it gives the opportunity to really have time to audition and go out and make stuff like this happen, which is so exciting.
Excuse me. Click. Okay. I just liked your comment.
Yes.
Well, oh my God, I well miss you, done. Lisa Sheps.
I deal with likes all the time. But it's so, like, we finally got to a point that we realized that we're not sort of limited in what we have to do, and we can take it anywhere
it could
that
be
we
anything.
Want.
It could be anything we want.
Living,
breathing thing.
So here's one thing I've learned. The world is a stage.
The world is a stage.
Yes. Why.
And all the people are merely players.
Yep.
Jarrett and I sort of know each other tangentially,
but
every time I have had any dealings with you, it has to do with other people.
Yeah.
And you're a wonderful hugger. I feel that you're a people person. Am I right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Correct. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, goodbye. We got a lot of, on the side, the other guests are all saying best hugger.
Best hugger.
Yeah. I do give really good hugs. I was talking to my girlfriend about this and I was like, you know, it's sad because I'll never know what my hugs actually feel like.
You know what, though? There's a great book called The Hug. I love hugs. You know why? They change people and they're free. There's no reason we couldn't turn around and pass them around. And I can say that free.
You can say that. Yeah. So, interestingly enough, Nicole Shiro, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jarrett and one Andrew Cannata is going to write an Offstage and On the Air theme song.
Yes.
They're very close to having it done.
Yeah, we're so close.
Are
so
you
very
really?
Close.
Do I get to sing it?
Yes.
Hey, well, you know,
I'm
that
serious.
Might be
I think
the
Andrew
thing
would have like a mental breakdown. If he told me he wasn't
Andrew,
yes.
I've done a show with Andrew before.
Okay,
I love Andrew.
Yeah,
I've known Andrew.
I can sing.
This will be 15 years.
I want to do it. You should sing.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Rock that mic.
I would be the comic.
Just tell me.
I would be the comic relief. Lacey, what? Tell me your story.
I started.
Bring that mic closer to you. Your instinct was right.
Get up
there.
Close and personal. You're not
so
going to
be afraid of breaking something.
No,
you just grab it and move it around like this.
I started in theater when I was 5 at church, and I was cast in probably my favorite role I have carried with me to this day because I beat
the Christmas play.
I don't remember what it was called. No, it was about the angels before the birth of baby Jesus.
Okay.
Called the Don't Be Afraid Brigade. Very religious.
I like baseball
don't
shows.
Don't Be Afraid Brigade.
Yes,
my
great
new
title, man.
Yes, and I got to play the role of Serafina, the angel, and I beat out. Because I was 5, and this was for all ages, so I beat up kids up to the age of 13. For this role.
Wow.
Including my sister, who still is a little mad at me about it. But.
What's your sister's name?
Laura.
Yeah, Laura should just get over herself.
Did you tell her don't be afraid?
No. She just really wanted it, and then her little sister came and took it.
Yeah. Awesome. As a younger sibling, I'm all for it. Were you the baby of the family?
I am the baby.
Yay, Rocco. Who's the baby? So there's four out of seven.
The onlys, yeah.
You're the,
that's the funniest part about playing brothers is we're both like selfish.
That's very interesting.
It's like, I don't even know what that's like. You're so I'm just like, I was going to yell.
Oldest.
Wow. And you're a two-ist. You're two.
I'm an older. Well, I have a.
Oh, you have step.
I have a lot of step siblings, so I'm kind of second oldest, okay. I guess, with the students.
But that's which very interesting. Mm-hmm. The only we're children only playing children playing brothers.
Playing siblings.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that I'm speechless.
Well, I find myself asking people a lot, like people with brothers. I'm like, what is it like? Like, what can you say? That's like, where's the line?
Yeah, I think it's always family dynamics are always different. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You probably get so many different.
So, Lacey, so did you do theater in high school?
I did. I was actually homeschooled, but my sister and I started our own community theater out in our town of Liberty Hill, the Liberty Hill Community Theater.
Is that Liberty Hill, Texas?
It is.
Way up north here?
Yeah.
I love that you and your sister did that. That's really cool.
Yeah, she was.
And it was the Liberty Hill Players.
Yeah, we were the Liberty Hill Community Theater Youth Guild.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
That's very fancy.
That's a lot of work.
We were very fancy children. But she was 15, I was 11, and with my mom, we started that out there.
Rock on. Does it still exist?
It doesn't. It died with us.
Oh, wait, what were some of your productions?
It died with... Oh, why do I say things? No, it died when we aged out.
Yeah. I just want to say that I was on your side that whole time. I was not questioning what you said.
Thank you. I say weird things sometimes.
Everybody else notwithstanding.
Peanut gallery, not so much.
So before we move on, Lacey, tell us what your shining moment of the Liberty Hill Community Youth Guild Players, etc.
Oh, I think when I got to play, we did a lot of melodramas because that was very well received out in Liberty Hill. Love the finer things. And I think my favorite role that I got to play was when I was the heroine, Willie Lovelace. And I think it was something with Calamity Gulch. I cannot remember the name of the play, but I got to play the heroine. I was a sheriff. So she wasn't your typical like, oh, I'm a damsel, save me. She defended herself and was independent and I enjoyed playing that role.
There you go. Well, rock on. Oh,
nice.
Well, I'm going to lobby for the reinstatement of the Liberty Hill Community Youth Guild. Community Theater Youth Guild
it.
And get that back out. Yeah, exactly.
You spit it out.
So,
Armichael,
as closing off this, as you're yes. like the only veteran of backstage here besides Nicole and I. What you've been backstage a couple times.
Yeah,
so it's like hard to ask you anything new. So tell us something we don't know. Anything we don't know?
Anything you don't know? Let's see. I don't really speak to my older brother. You're talking about brothers.
Yeah,
and
sad. I don't either.
Yeah. My other brother died. I was very close to him, but he died.
Okay. What's the age difference between you and your living brother?
7 years.
Oh, that's quite a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. He was married and had a daughter when he was 18, and I was really not even sure where babies came from.
No.
I'm not sure I even want to know.
Nor did you want to have any part of that stuff.
Like, that's a little weird. Do humans have to do that? I wasn't sure. So, you know, and I have four adopted children. So humans don't have to.
Forget you have four kids.
Now, you have other humans do it for you.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, you can do that.
Are any of your kids in theater?
You know, my daughters are starting to have an interest. Mm-hmm. They're 10 and 11.
Because your oldest son is like scientist guy, right?
He's a science nerd, but he's also a musician. So he's studying at Texas State, and he's doing really well. I think
that's
he wants
cool.
to be a music producer. He did want to be like the Asian Justin Bieber. And I think finally that's gone away.
It's good. Will he write us a theme song? Because we've hired some other people to write our theme song.
We're so close.
I bet he would do it.
Hilarious.
He would totally do it, and I would sing it for you.
So,
la, la, la.
Yeah, we are throwing around the guilt here like it's going out of style. Well, I want to thank everybody. This has been a very fun backstage.
I have to ask you a question. What's the age difference between you and your siblings?
Yeah. I'm the youngest. My brother and I are closest in age by 2 years, and my sister was 6 years older than I am.
That's a sound round. Yeah, I'm 5 years with my brother.
Yeah.
We did not like each other growing up.
What, Jared, now Matt, what are the age differences between you and your brothers?
I've never been good at math, so.
Some around zero and negative zero.
Zero. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you got to at least do 9 months.
True. But that's
true.
Irish
Well, that's
twins,
not
though.
True, you don't.
They have no siblings. It was a trick question.
I know, it was a joke. I was joking with you. It was just a bad joke, that's all.
I'm not very smart. My elevator
no
does not go all the way to the tool shed.
I like that. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, I am one lamp short of a Happy Meal. Okay.
Oh.
Thank you guys so much for being. What song should we be hearing underneath us right this very moment?
Man.
Any ideas? Any clues?
Edelweiss?
Edelweiss.
I was just about to go Edelweiss.
That's the only thing you can do.
I do have to say, when I'm watching the movie, I start crying when he sings that.
It makes me cry, too.
It makes me cry.
It's a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song. Well, it sounds beautiful here. I don't know which version we're listening to, but it's one of them. We'll see you guys.
We'll find out.
All right.
Bye.
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 You look happy to me.